Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Ragtime Jug Stompers by Dave Van Ronk on Mercury Records, catalog number SR60864, and it was released in 1964.
So this album is Flissy's find from a recent trip to the record store, and I've been a huge fan of Val Stevens, who I really hope will have a chance to feature on a future episode, as well as Gus Cannon and the Memphis Jug Band. And so I wasn't really sure what to expect from this album because it's sort of inauthentic in that it's trying to capture the jug band sound, but it's not really a product of the jug band era, being the late 20s or early 30s. But, you know, I mean, there's other sort of jug band or skiffle artists that came later, and I have enjoyed, so I was kind of interested to take a listen to it and see what it was.
And as the sticker indicates, it was only a $3 investment. I feel like on this most recent trip to the record store, like, Steve bought all of the good albums, and I bought all the ones that looked interesting. And whether or not they're actually good remains to be seen.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about this album?
So the cover, it has, like, this illustration
of a jug.
Yeah, it's like the
moonshine
jug, and it says on the what do you call it,
neck,
on the neck of the jug it says Ragtime Jug Stompers, and underneath that, Dave Van Ronk. And then on the barrel of the jug it has these five guys in, like, exactly what you would think a jug band to look like. There's a wash tub, there's a guy with a washboard, a guitar, a banjo, a man blowing across a jug, and a guy on a mandolin. And they're sitting on what looks like a railroad tie or something, and their feet are propped up on an anvil. So it's like the embodiment of just idea of jug band. And then it's got the track listing on the bottom of the jug. And then on the back it says how to have fun with an empty jug, and it has sort of this, like, little pensive summary of how the jug band got together. And it's very, like, I don't know, it's like very buddy-buddy, this description on the back.
Yeah, it's all like, I was planning on starting a jug band for some time.
Just like all of us, you know. Finally the chance came.
All right, well, do you want to take a listen to our first clip?
Yeah, what did you pick?
All right, so I picked the last track on side A. This is Mac the Knife. So what'd you think?
Honestly, this is not my most favorite version of Mac the Knife, but I think it's interesting in that they really were able to apply the jug band formula to all sorts of music. This one is like a jazz standard, and there's some, like, really old blues on here. There's some, like, contemporary folk songs on here, and it all, like, they really created a sound on this album.
Yeah, I mean, I picked this track because I felt like it stood out the most to me on this album, maybe because it is probably the most recognizable song. But I think it's a really interesting take on that song. I mean, especially the vocals are sort of growly and think it's, kind of interesting. And, yeah, I mean, this probably isn't the most representative sound of the album. I mean, the first track on this side is called Everybody Loved My Baby, and it's pretty interesting because it has what I guess is maybe kazoo or, you know, possibly a comb with wax paper featured. And then, you know, the second track, Stealin', is probably actually the song that's most up my alley, and it has, you know, sort of prominent harmonica, and is probably more, you know, representative of the, you know, sort of traditional jug band sound. But I think that, you know, it all sort of goes to the thing that's really weird about this album is that I sort of feel like it could be something that was released today. And
yeah,
in fact, it was sort of interesting. I mean, we found out that later that this was 1964, but it's sort of, you know, impossible to tell based on the album itself, like when it was released.
Yeah.
But it really sounds something that's contemporary, and it's, I feel like it's the kind of thing that, you know, sometime when I was going down to visit my sister in North Carolina, like we might just go and see.
It's totally true. Like, we'll have to check in. Like, do those guys, do they have some jug band playing next door? Like that could totally be a thing. I'm really amazed by, you know, making this podcast and listening to a lot of records. Like, some records that are old, like, immediately sound dated. Like, they already feel like they're locked in time somewhere. And we talk about that on some of our previous episodes, how things sound like a product of their time, or it's like a capsule in time. And this one, like, really sounds timeless. Like, it could be from any time. It could be from now. It could be from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, like the 30s. Like, it really, it's cool.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Dave Van Ronk?
So I feel like I should have known who Dave Van Ronk was when I bought this album, but I didn't. So our listeners might know if they're well-versed in folk music. He was known as the mayor of McDougal Street, and he had just this huge presence in Greenwich Village during the folk revival in the 1950s and the 1960s. So he served notably as a friend and mentor to Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, like all the kids that were running around that scene at the time. And so during this time, Max Gordon was the owner of the Village Vanguard, and he was traveling. He saw a line at the door for a show in Cambridge, and he's like, what is going on here? And it turns out there were people like lining up out the door to see a jug band. And so he was like, I want a jug band for my club so I can have a line out the door too. And so, you know, he went through the grapevine and called up Dave Van Ronk. He's like, hey, do you have a jug band? And Dave Van Ronk was like, no, but I can make one. And so this is basically represents all of his best friends from the Greenwich music scene, like all the musicians that had the facility to play many instruments in a lot of different styles. And so Dave Van Ronk, his interest was really in early blues and jazz, especially in early African-American music. He collected a lot of 78s. And among other things, he had a lot of respect in the music community in New York City for really like preserving the music of that time of like early jazz and early African-American jazz in particular. And it seemed like he really had a lot of respect for that music. He was pretty much playing it straight. He wasn't embellishing it or putting his own stylizations in it. He was really, I would say, like, you know, kind of historical in his presentation of early music. And I think you can hear a little bit of that in this album. Like many of the artists in the early folk, in the folk revival in the 1960s, he was a social activist. He was arrested during the Stonewall riots for gay rights. He was a member of the Libertarian League. He played a lot of protest concerts during the Vietnam War. And so that's kind of his story. And he had a memoir released, I think it's also called The Mayor of McDougal Street, that he co-wrote with somebody else. And anecdotes from his memoir were used in the Coen Brothers movie Inside Llewyn Davis, and that was released, I think, in 2014. So it's a pretty recent movie.
All right, well, let's get to our second clip. Felicity, what did you pick?
I picked Temptation Rag.
All right, this is the second track on side B. Let's take a listen. Why don't you pick this track?
So there's a couple things that I like about this one. This really reminds me personally of my time being involved in the ukulele scene. And yes, my friends, there is such a thing as a ukulele scene. Because this demonstrates like this sort of feeling of generosity among the musicians. Like, I really feel like all the musicians are in it together in this one. They're not really trying to one-up each other. I feel like it's really like they're playing in the spirit of this old jazz, which is what I was talking about earlier about Dave Van Ronk being really a fan of early jazz. And so I feel like they really play this one straight. It's really interesting also that these ragtime songs were originally composed on piano, and one of Dave Van Ronk's specialties was rearranging the piano ragtime songs to play on guitar, and it's played on mandolin on this one, and it's kind of legendary for the complexity of his arrangements of, you know, transposing something designed for piano to be played on strings. And it really, I think, showcases that in this song.
Yeah, so I feel like this song is definitely a lot more representative of the album sound than my pick. But, yeah, I mean, you have a little bit of a chance to hear the jug in this song, which I feel like is not overdone, and that probably helps make it more accessible to people. But I feel like it's a little bit of shame that I feel like I really, you know, I could appreciate the jug, and I feel like they could have really gone a little bit stronger with it.
Yeah.
But definitely is played pretty straight, which I think is interesting. You know, compared to Scott Joplin's ragtime songs, I feel like it is much, you know, just much more straight up. I don't know, but is it very, yeah, it feels, it sort of has an old timey feel to it, even though it is, you know, a mid-60s album. So what do you think about this album?
I really love this album, and I think it really does an awesome job of playing a variety of different kinds of songs in this sort of old-timey, ragtime, jug bandy style. And it really does have a timeless quality about it. It's really playful and easy to listen to. Like, I feel like this could be an album that my friends made and that we backed on Kickstarter, you know? It's like, it really, it's lots of fun, and it has a lot of old jazz songs that I really like. I like Everybody Loves My Baby. I like Take It Slow and Easy. I like the Georgia Camp Meeting. And Use a Viper, the last track on this album. It's credited to Fats Waller on the back, but I think this is actually originally a Steph Smith song who we talked about in an earlier episode. So it's really, it's a cool variety of stuff, and I think it's tons of fun.
Yeah, I was really surprised by this album and pleased with it, but really mainly just blown away with how today it sounds. And it's sort of hard for me to believe that it is an album from the 60s. So I definitely think it's something that's worth listening to. And, you know, if you happen to find it on vinyl, something that's worth picking up.
Totally. Invite your neighbors over, listen to some jug band, drink some home brews, groom your beards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think the only difference today, I mean, like you said, the cover of the album, it's like they look typical junk band style. And I think the only thing different that if this was today is that everybody would have beards.
They would all be bearded rather than clean shaven.
Yeah, well, I mean, one guy's a beard. I think that's Dave Van Ronk.
Yeah.
And then one guy has a mustache. Maybe the guy with the mustache would still just have the mustache as right. like, you know, some sort of like ironic hipster not bearded thing. But I think that definitely the other guys would have beards.
Yeah.
So
they do have like that. They have that like Chet Faker, like pompadour, all those other guys. So they just need the beards.
All right. So for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/23. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Living in Hi-Fi. For longer correspondence, send us an email at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, we have a special guest submission, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. So thanks for listening.